If you're trying to figure out why your body feels different, why your treatment isn't working, or whether this is menopause or something else, it's not because you're missing something. It's because no one has connected the dots for you. The Holistic Healing Summit is where that changes. In 1 week, you'll hear from the specialists people pay hundreds of dollars to see, and finally get the answers that actually apply to your body. Go to lssupportnetwork.org/WHS to register, because this isn't something you should have to do alone.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosus Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I study an aspect of lichen sclerosis or speak to someone associated with lichen sclerosis. But not this week. This week is different. I know some of you will say, oh God, why is she invading my sacred space? But here's the thing. This is my platform. And what kind of hypocrite would I be if I am constantly saying, use your voice, use your voice, your story matters. Then you can bring about change by using your voice and sharing your story. And in this important moment in history, when I have a platform, that I don't use my voice. Here's the thing. I'm a person that gets an itch. I don't know any other way to describe it, but when I get an itch in my soul that says, okay, you need to do this, I cannot think of anything else. I can't do anything else. It is all consuming. And that's how it was before I started my podcast. That's how it was before I started the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. That's how it was before I updated my website. Each one of those was an itch that called to me and said, you must do this or you're not going to be able to rest in peace. And I wasn't. And this has been gnawing at me for the last 3-4 days. We have been in a crisis. In America, people of color, especially Black people, have been in a crisis. And here's the deal. Some of you may not know this, but I am a woman of color. I am a Hispanic woman, and I am married to a wonderful Black man. And my children are Black and Hispanic. And we have been touched by racism multiple times, time and so much time again. And I don't want to make this moment about me. What I want to do is share with you what it looks like from a mother's eyes, because I know my audience is 98% white women, ranging from all ages. But here's what I know about women. Most of us are nurturers. We care for our children, whether they're ours by blood, by relationship, nieces, nephews, sisters, brothers, even a cousin or a friend, a godchild. Whatever it is, a lot of us, a big majority of us, have children that we care for deeply. And so today I want to share with you how racism has touched my life through my children. Because maybe you can understand. Maybe if you're on the fence and you're saying, well, all lives matter, and I don't get it. I don't understand why it is that they're protesting, why it is that they're rioting, why it is that things can't just go back to normal. Because your normal is our broken. That is why we can't go back to normal. That is why I have to speak up today. Because maybe if you hear my story, then you will understand the pain that you feel when you love a child so much and you know that you can't take away that hurt that the world has put on them. You know that it's going to happen again. And there's nothing you can do. And it's all because of the color of their skin. It's not fair. It's not fair that our babies are treated differently from yours. We love just like you do. We want the best for them just like you do. We do the best for them just like you do. Why can't they be respected the same way you expect your child to be respected? Why is it that we have to fight so hard for equality? I waited to do this episode because I didn't want to cry, but I can't. I can't help it. My heart aches so bad. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. But we feel this every day, and we have to swallow it every day. And the fear when our husbands and our sons go out and we tell them, be careful, because they could just be walking down the street and never come home. It's not fair. Now, before I share my children's stories, I want to tell you something. As a woman, as an American, there's a reason some of y'all, probably most of you, didn't know that I was a Hispanic woman. That was by design. Because when I first started my podcast, I made a choice because I knew if I put my face out there, like I see a lot of other women doing, that I would lose some of you before you even started listening because of the bigotry and the ingrained racism that you may not even know you had. I know some of you would look and say, oh God, there's a Hispanic. Oh my God, this must be a ghetto podcast. Oh, not even going to listen to it. Oh my God, what does this spick have to tell me? Yeah, I've been called a spick before. So by design, I didn't put my face out there. I didn't put my face out there for months. Months. And when I decided to do it, my husband said, no, don't do it. People are listening to you. they're actually listening. You're going to lose people because they don't know that you're a person of color. But I was tired of hiding. I was tired. And you know what? I said, hey, I'm creating a resource for the people who want it. And if the color of my skin, if my ethnicity is a problem, then you don't deserve it. So if you have an issue with me being a person of color, if me speaking out today, you've probably already shut it off and went about your business. But if you haven't, have a wonderful life. Because I don't need you. I won't even miss you. But if you have an open mind and you want to hear one person's story from the other side, then listen. And listen all the way through. Don't get halfway through and like, okay, I'm done with this. I can't take this no more. Because then you're missing the point. This is just one story. This is my story. This is my story as a mother of black children. And this is a story that's repeated millions of times. Millions. So think about that every time you see a protester, every time you see someone on the news, every time you read the hashtag or somebody saying Black Lives Matter. Every time you see a post by a person of color saying we matter. It's not because we're trying to be special. It's not because we're trying to get you to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. It's because we want equal treatment. We want our children to be treated equal. So, I'm going to tell you one incident that happened with my youngest daughter and one incident that happened with my son. And these are not, I repeat, these are not anomalies. These are not just the only incidents that's happened. But these are some of the incidents that have cut me and still cut me every time I think about them. My baby girl, my youngest, she is the type of child that when she was 3 years old, I took her into a bank to open up an account. And the lady who opened my account, she just fell in love with her. And said, oh my God, she's just full of personality. And she is. She's absolutely full of personality. She's the type of child that when you meet her, you just can't help but smile and fall in love with her. When she entered the second grade, she was excited. She got, you know, she was going to make new friends, and she loved giving hugs. And she said, I'm going to give my teacher my new teacher a big hug. And for a couple of weeks, you know, she was good. She was coming home and telling us about her day. She loved to talk. Then we noticed she started being quiet when she was getting picked up, and she was quiet on the way to school, and she just was losing that spark. And we knew something was wrong. This wasn't our daughter. And we would ask her, babe, what's wrong? Are you okay? Is somebody bullying you? Did somebody hurt you? Did somebody say something? And she would say, no, I'm okay, mommy. I'm okay, daddy. Nobody bullying me. Nobody hurt me. And after a couple weeks, she asked her dad. She said, "Daddy, do you think I'm likable?" And her dad looked at her funny, like, "What?" And he said, "Of course you're likable. I like you very much. Why do you ask me that?" And she said, "Because the color of my skin. I didn't know if I was likable." And when he told me that this happened, it broke my heart. And every time I think about it, it breaks my heart over and over and over again. Because at some point, somebody said something to my baby that made her feel less than. It made her feel unworthy to be liked. It made her question herself, this child who is full of personality and love and joy. It broke my heart because it broke her, and she didn't understand it. She didn't get it. And so I talked to her, and she still wouldn't tell us who said what. Why did she think that? We kept asking her, "Why did you say that, baby? What made you think that? Why would you think that you were not likable? Who told you? Who said something about your skin? You're beautiful." She wouldn't tell. And one day when I was talking to her, she was writing on her little easel whiteboard, and when she moved and I could see what she wrote, and her little second grade hand, she wrote that her skin was so different. And she said with her skin, she's scared that the reason is she feels like she won't fit in. And she's scared. And she drew a sad face crying, surrounded by smiling faces. And I could tell that that was just her way of trying to say, "Mommy, I'm scared because I'm different." Why does my baby have to be scared because she's different? Who told her she was different? If you don't talk to your children, to the children in your life, and let them know that just because somebody's skin is different, just because their hair is different, just because they don't dress like you, does not make them different from you. We are the same. We are all the same. Because guess what? You can have curly hair and white skin, And Becky can have straight hair and white skin. But you don't see her as different, do you? It's the same thing. We are no different. Teach your children that we are no different. There's no reason that someone, whether they meant it in malice or not, should have made any kind of comment to my baby about her skin. There is no reason that she should question herself, her beauty, her worth, because someone didn't teach their child that we are all the same. But you know what? Unfortunately, I know this is going to happen again. Because, unfortunately, there's a large portion of the population who feels that they don't have to talk to their children about this. That, oh, they see black people on TV. Oh, we've got black friends. Oh, we're not racist. We love all people. Yeah, you might. But if you don't take an active role in teaching your children that it's not okay to say something about someone else's skin or their hair or to make them feel other than you, then you're part of the problem. It's never too early to talk to your children. They're talking about race in kindergarten, 5 years old. It's not okay. Take an active role. Don't just let it be, oh, society will teach them. Because if they don't have any people of color around them or in the house or it's not normalized, when they go to school and they see something different, they're going to say it. And that child on that receiving end is going to feel it. Imagine your child has freckles. Someone came up to your child and says, I don't like you because you have freckles. Your child can't help that they have freckles. And what if that messes with them to the point where they feel like they're not likable because they have freckles? Imagine how that would hurt you and you'd see red. And you'd know that there's nothing you can do to protect your baby. This is what I'm talking about. I took a picture of what she drew because I just couldn't believe it. I had to show my husband. And I'm glad I kept it. I'm going to put it up on the website so you can see it for yourself. That my 7-year-old daughter, who's innocent, who is a fun-loving child, was brought down just because of the color of her skin. You could see that at lichensclerosispodcast.com/BLM. after talking with her counselor at school, after talking with her teacher, and after a month of just reaffirming her and just building her back up again, she was finally able to get back to herself. But she was never been exactly the same. Oh my gosh, first grade and kindergarten, she had tons of friends. She was just the belle of the ball. She was friends with everybody. Second grade, you ask her, did you play with anybody? No. I just swung on the swing by myself. You want to play with your friends? No. I just want to be by myself. It's all because of this one person who said something about her skin. Your words matter. Your child's words matter. They're not innocent. They have consequences. So now I want to tell you about my son, my beautiful, wonderful son. My son is 21 years old. He goes to Stetson University. He was a football player. He's now a boxer. He works. He's going to be a senior come fall. He makes A's and B's. He knows what he wants to be. He wants to go to law school when he finishes and gets his degree. When he was in the fourth grade, we moved from a predominantly ethnic area to a predominantly white area. Because it was very, very important to me that my son get the best education that we could afford. And that just happened to be in a predominantly white area. This area was so white that it had a nickname. So people normally would call it the West Shore. It was considered the West Shore. But it was so white, people called it the White Shore. Even white people. When I would tell them, oh, I'm moving over to the West Shore. What? You moving to the White Shore? You sure? Why do you want to do that? Because I was determined for my son to get the best education. So we moved there, and it just so happened his first day of his new school just happened to be his birthday. So when he came home, he was so excited. He said, Mommy, they said happy birthday to me over the intercom, and everybody wanted to come and be my friend. He thought he was a rock star. Fast forward to when my son, that's when he turned 10. Fast forward to when my son was 16. He's on the football team in high school. And he was frustrated. There was an incident at school where he went to the bathroom in the middle of class, and when he went in, there were three of his friends already in the bathroom. And they were doing something. And so he said he went to use the bathroom and just as he was leaving, a teacher came in and saw all four boys in the bathroom. in the middle of class. So he didn't know what was going on. So he took them all into the principal's office. And they were trying to say that they were doing something in the bathroom. I don't even remember. They were rolling dice or it was something. They felt that the boys were doing something nefarious in the bathroom. And so they questioned my son by himself. And we've had little incidents with the middle school before. And we told our son, you know, if they ever try to question you, you tell them that you want your parents there. You won't speak without your parents. Because, again, we had had issues. And my husband had had to go up to the school and straighten it out. So long story short, they didn't like that answer. But they let him go. And my son came home and he told us. We said, so we told him, okay, you go to school. If they don't say anything about it, you don't say nothing. But if they do, you tell him to call your father. So he went to school. They called him into the office again and told him that he would get 2 weeks detention if he didn't tell them what they were doing. My son told him, I already told you, I don't know what they were doing. I just went to the bathroom. But you need to call my father if you want to ask me any other questions. So they gave him 2 weeks detention. So at the end of the day, my son saw his friends and went and asked him. He said, did they call you guys into the office? And they're like, no. I said, did you guys get detention? I'm like, no. So my son, who's the last one in the bathroom, and the only one that was coming out, was the only one that was questioned, and the only one that got detention. Guess what? He was the only one that was black. Let that sink in. Why is it that these other boys weren't called in? Why is it that these other boys weren't given detention? Why is it that they weren't questioned? Why is it that they were treated differently? And my son came home. And he sat in the living room with me next to him, his father on the other couch. And as he was telling us, my 16-year-old son, who I had not seen cry since he was a little boy, maybe 3 or 4, he cried. He cried because he was frustrated. He cried because he was treated differently. He cried because he felt already at the age of 16 what it was going to be like to be a black man in America. He felt the weight of that oppression on his shoulders at 16. He wasn't even a full grown man. But he felt it. And he cried and he said, Mommy, why? Why am I treated differently? Why? And the only thing I could tell him was, it's not fair. It's just the way it is. We had already told him how to behave if a cop pulls up behind him because he was just getting his driver's license. And we had already told him about being extra respectful when being spoken to with an authority figure. We had already told him his rights and his right not to speak. Because guess what? They will twist our baby's words. And you could say, well, if they just complied and if they just did what they're supposed to, guess what? They still get killed. Try to comply when someone is pulling you down to the ground, when someone is making you feel less than the person that you are. Try to comply when your rights are being violated and you feel helpless. Your natural reaction is to fight, flee, or freeze. And if you're a man, you know they've been raised to fight. Chances are they will. Needless to say, my husband, my black husband, went up to the high school, requested an audience with the principal, which he did get. And I guess they felt so frightened that before he could even get into the principal's office, someone must have called the police because there was a squad car parked outside in front of the school by the time they called him in, which he could see because there was windows. Squad car wasn't there when he got there. All of a sudden, now there's a squad car there. He wasn't belligerent. He went in there and he spoke up for my son. And he pointed out the disparities. And he pointed out that they had no proof that my son did anything wrong. And that wasn't even his argument. His argument was, if you're going to punish one, you need to punish all of them. And you know what? They took away his detention because they knew they had nothing. And if they took that to those three white boys' parents, then they were going to have to explain to them why it is that their children were being put on 2 weeks detention with nothing to prove that they did anything wrong. And they didn't want that. But they were willing to try it on my son. Because they felt, oh, he's just a little Negro. And his parents are probably not even in the home. So we're going to treat him any other kind of way we want. You know why? Because that's the system. That's what we're fighting for, because that is how we are looked at every day. Be it in school, be it at work, be it in the government. We're looked at as less than. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for equal treatment. We're not asking to have more than you. We're not asking to take away from you. We're just asking to be treated equally. When we are treated equally, we won't have to fight as hard. I don't understand how that's so hard to understand. All we want is to be treated equally. I know I've gone over what I normally do. But that's okay. This is my platform. I could do that. If you're still listening, I thank you. I appreciate you. And I hope that something I've said has made you appreciate and understand the pain that we feel as mothers of black children. So do better. Teach your children better. Because they are the future and they affect my children. And my babies deserve everything that your babies deserve. They don't deserve more. They don't deserve less. They deserve equal. That's all we want. Please teach your children. There are many, many resources out there. Research. Learn, educate yourself. If you don't know what to say, how to say it, find the resources. They're out there. They're easy to find. It's not my job to give them to you. It's not my job to make it easy for you. It's your job to figure it out. Because we can't change your system. We can't change your mind. We can't raise your children. You got to do the work. Now that you know what the problem is, do the work. Be better. Do better. Because we are all equal. If you feel that there's someone who needs to hear this message, someone that could be touched by this message, please, please share. Because this isn't just for my audience. It's for the world. This is just one mother's voice. But just like I tell you, if you share your story, your one story, you can make a difference. And I hope and I pray that my story today will make a difference. Because my babies deserve better. I hope that you have an amazing day. And I hope that you truly, truly hear my message and that you share it. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.